Welcome back to The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. President Obama will be addressing the nation tonight on the Syria issue. He is seeking congressional approval for military action to punish Syria's dictatorship for using chemical weapons against a neighborhood sympathetic to the rebels. Meanwhile, there's a diplomatic solution developing with the Russians taking control of the Syrian chemical weapons supply. Decisions on war and peace are always fraught with the constitutional questions and the War Powers Act passed in the 1970s after the Vietnam War. It gives Congress certain degree of authority to approve or deny deployment of forces in the war zone. We hope to be joined a little bit later by Congressman Lamar Smith. If he has time, he's going to call in. We'll hear what his thoughts are. He has said that he would vote no against giving President Barack Obama the go-ahead to strike Syria. But we do have Rebecca Cinderbrand on the line. She is the Deputy White House Editor for Politico. Rebecca, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, so thanks for joining us. And what is the mood right now in Washington? I think it sounds like the script is gone, that people are trying to figure out where to go with this.
Well, it seems like there's a new script almost by the hour. It's hard, you know, to see where things are going to go next. But it's been a very, very fast-moving story. And it's safe to say that the speech we're going to hear tonight is not the speech we would have heard if the speech were delivered last night or the one we would have heard the night before. That's how quickly things have changed.
Yeah. How amazing is this that we're seeing a diplomatic solution possibly that could be satisfactory to all parties involved except for the Syrian rebels, I imagine. So what are we looking at?
Well, let's be clear. We're still in the very early stages of this right now. We do know the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is going to be meeting with his Russian counterpart in Geneva on Thursday to discuss this. We do know that the President today told Congress officially that he was going to he asked the Senate to delay a vote on authorizing the use of force. So we know that that was set for tomorrow. That's now been delayed. So there are a number of pieces that are already in motion. It's not clear exactly where it goes from here in the sense of, you know, there had been set to be a UN Security Council meeting today to discuss this plan. That was canceled after the Russians withdrew their request for it. So things remain very much up in the air right now.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Want to offer your thoughts on where we're going with this Syria strike. Please call in, and if you've got a question for our guest, she is covering the issue in Washington, D.C. right now, Rebecca Cinderbrand, Deputy White House Editor for Politico. Did it look like that President Obama was going to lose that vote in Congress, that this diplomatic solution from the Russians could be a lifeline for him?
Well, I mean, absolutely. It's safe to say the trends were absolutely not working in the president's favor. Virtually every whip count, that is every vote count of where things stood, both with the House, which of course has not yet taken this up, and with the Senate, showed the president on the losing end, that his pitch was falling flat. The majority of members who'd come forward publicly, and an even bigger majority of those who had not come forward publicly but had discussed the issue privately, said that they were either voting against military action or were leaning against military action. And so the trends were certainly not in the president's favor. And so, you know, even when you had the State Department today making the case that when John Kerry yesterday left the door open for this diplomatic solution, that it wasn't some sort of a mistake or a gaffe, that it actually was deliberate. And in some sense, if it was deliberate, it may have been the last best hope for the White House.
Yeah, there are even some typical neocons who are supporting not going to take this military strike. And they're saying that's how President Obama has finally won that Nobel Peace Prize, by getting the neocons to vote against war.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, people kind of point to this. This has been a trend in the Republican Party for some time, and in some sense, you know, the Bush era was a little bit of an aberration. You look at many of the votes on the use of force under both Republican and Democratic administrations, of course, more marked under Democratic administrations, but there had been a kind of historical tendency in the Republican Party to be somewhat skeptical of interventions, humanitarian interventions, which is essentially what this would be, although the administration has made the case that there are national security interests at stake. Essentially, this was originally painted as a humanitarian intervention responding to a violation of international norms, and that's not necessarily been something that's been an easy sell in the Republican Party, just historically speaking.
Sure. When George W. Bush, when he ran for president the first term, he was saying that we did not need to be the policemen of the world, being critical of Bill Clinton's efforts in Kosovo. So what does this mean for presidential power and the long term as we look back on the expansion and contraction of presidential power?
And that's a big question. You know, a losing vote on this would have been considered, you know, a huge rebuke to the executive. Even the very fact that the president took this to Congress to begin with was seen as sort of a historic moment. Of course, it's important to note that the president's advisors had made it clear that he believed, and they believed, that he retained the authority to act regardless of what the verdict from Congress might be. But of course, you know, getting kind of differing signals, others making it clear, kind of behind the scenes, also kind of essentially floating trial balloons and saying, look, that's not his desire, that's not his intent, that's not what he wants to be doing. So, you know, kind of making it clear that at the very least would give pause for thought if, for instance, the Senate, at the very least, were to reject it. That would be seen as a significant rebuke.
Yeah, so, but people are saying that as far in the future, if the president is going to be forced to go back to this, to the Congress, to try and get this authority if something else happens.
And, you know, a lot of people are kind of pointing to this and saying, look, you know, for decades after the Vietnam War, people were talking about the fact that we were living through the post-Vietnam era, and many military interventions, most military interventions were kind of measured against the historical experience and the memory of that conflict. And in some ways now we're living in the post-Iraq era. I mean, we are living in the post-Iraq era. And there's definitely, and the president has nodded to this many times as he's tried to make the sale, and he's acknowledged a war weariness among both the American public and in Congress based on the experience in Iraq and Afghanistan over the past decade. And so there's much of that at play in this situation as well.
And is there still lingering doubt about whether or not Syria's dictatorship, Assad, is responsible for the chemical weapons attack?
Well, there's really been kind of, you know, a twin legacy of Iraq, of course. One has been that incredible war weariness, which in many ways is probably almost decisive here for most of the members, particularly those who would like to support the president and are inclined to believe him. I'm talking about, you know, Democrats and liberals in Congress who would like to support this president, but are kind of instinctively against anything that could turn into sustained military action. And the other legacy of Iraq, of course, is a skepticism of government pitches when the government comes out and presents a narrative of events and says something is absolutely without question the correct version of events and the correct storyline in a very confusing situation. There's an instinctive skepticism among both, you know, members of the public, reporters, lawmakers now, who have that kind of faint memory and echo of what happened in the run-up to the Iraq War.
Okay, Rebecca Sindebrand, White House Deputy Editor. Please hang on. I'm going to bring on San Antonio Republican Congressman Lamar Smith. Congressman Smith, welcome to The Source.
David, good to be with you and your listeners as well.
So tell me what you're thinking. I know that you have said that you would vote no on this resolution. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. If the vote were today, I'd vote no, but and so would a majority of the House members as well. And a couple of reasons. One, we've had over 200 phone calls, emails, and letters from my constituents, over 2,000 emails, phone calls, and letters from my constituents. Of those, over 2,000, 95% have been opposed to initiating a military strike against Syria. And then back home, this last few weeks, I've personally talked to several hundred people. I've asked for a show of hands wherever I've been, and it's over 90% opposed as well. So there just doesn't seem to be any justification for going in right now. We have an uncertain goal, We have very few allies with us, and we'd be getting involved in a civil war where I'm not sure it's really clear who our friends are or who our friends are not. And in the case of the rebels, and you've got a Secretary Kerry saying at least 25% have a close association with al-Qaeda. He admitted that this last week. So, again, no friends. I think it could lead to worse than we might than might happen if we didn't get in at all. So right now I'm opposed to a no. The dynamics are changing, of course, with this latest gambit by Russia and Syria, and that may change a lot of things.
Are you satisfied with what you're hearing about that Russia taking over the control of the Syrian chemical weapons?
You know, talk about the fox in charge of the hen house. No, I don't have a lot of confidence in either Putin or in the United Nations, who always seems to be dragging their feet. And the whole scenario seems to me to be a stall tactic, with Russia being an enabler of Syria, not to be held accountable. And so we'll see where that goes. But at this point, I think it's a stall tactic. And we'll see what the president says. He's going to be addressing the nation tonight, of course, and I look forward to him make the case. But right now, his foreign policy is all over the map. They've been saying everything from this is an incredibly small military strike to a robust strike, and we're going after targets, and there'll be collateral damage. So you don't know who to believe. They really haven't gotten their message down, and that's another reason why a lot of us wonder what the point is of getting involved in the internal matters of another foreign country.
All right. So Congressman Lamar Smith on the line. I want to thank you so much for calling in. He says he will vote no as well. He says the majority of the House, probably from both parties, would vote no in support of President Obama in the strike. Also want to thank our other guests this quarter, Rebecca Sinderbrand of the Deputy White House Editor for Politico. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.